end, I had to promise him I would do my best to persuade you to come and investigate this remarkable mystery.
Investigate? But since no crime has been committed...
It's possible that a crime is about to be committed. I fancy that is what terrifies Mr. Blessington.
As I say, he's a very eccentric man. But if you'd only come back with me in the broom, then you might at least be able to soothe him and perhaps make some sense out of these extraordinary incidents.
Very well. Come, Watson, let us go.
Oh, Dr. Trevelyan, I'm so glad you are here.
Maria, what's the matter?
I saw the carriage drop. I've been so frightened.
There. Come in, Mr. Holmes, Dr. Watson.
Thank you.
Now then, tell me what has happened.
It's Mr. Blessington, Doctor. He's upstairs. He's very upset. He behaves most strangely.
In what way, strangely?
He has a gun.
What? We must go upstairs at once.
Stay where you are!
Good Lord.
I have a pistol. I give you my word that I'll fire if you come any nearer.
Mr. Blessington, this is quite outrageous.
Is that you, Doctor? I'm sorry. In the half light, I thought for a moment. But those other men, will you? Who are they?
You asked me to bring Mr. Sherlock Holmes, and I've done so. This is Mr. Holmes and his colleague, Dr. Watson.
Good evening, Mr. Blessington. I'm sorry that we meet under such disagreeable circumstances.
Mr. Sherlock Holmes, I'm extremely grateful to you. Please come upstairs.
After you, Mr. Holmes. Dr. Watson.
Thank you.
Like an animal at bay, Blessington had retreated to the darkest corner of the landing. Now he relit the gas, and we saw before us a man whose appearance testified to his jangled nerves. Shamefaced, he slipped the pistol back in his pocket and ushered us into his rooms.
Come in, Mr. Holmes. Come in. And Dr. Watson. I must apologize for my discourtesy. I'm very obliged to you for responding so promptly. No man ever needed your advice more than I do.
I hope we can assist you in some way.
Perhaps if you were to begin by giving us all the facts.
The facts are very simple. No doubt Dr. Trevelyan will have told you of the unwarrantable intrusion into this apartment.
He has indeed, and of the two men who called on him. Are you in any way acquainted with them?
Acquainted? No, indeed, sir. Why should you suppose such a thing?
You have no knowledge of them or why they should pursue you in this way.
Well, no. Well, that is... Well, it's very hard to say, isn't it? Didn't Trevelyan explain? I never even met these men, never clapped eyes on them.
Yeah, but you have a shrewd idea of their identity.
Really, Mr. Holmes? You can hardly expect me to answer that question.
Would you be good enough to explain yourself, sir?
I'm simply saying, since I never saw them, I can't give you any information about them. That's reasonable enough, surely.
Very well. Let me put this another way. Do you have any enemies, Mr. Blessington?
Upon my soul. What a thing to say, enemies indeed. Come here, please. This door leads to my bedroom. You see the large box at the foot of my bed?
The strong box? Yes, what of it?
I've never been a rich man, Mr. Holmes. Never made but one investment in my life, as Dr. Trevelyan will tell you. But I don't believe in bankers. I don't put my trust in banks. Between ourselves, what little I possess is inside that box. Now perhaps you'll understand what it means to me when unknown persons force their way into my rooms.
I'm sorry, Mr. Blessington.
Sorry?
I cannot possibly assist you if you try to deceive me.
My dear chap! Well, that's pretty cool, I must say. Deceive you, indeed. I told you everything.
Good night, Dr. Trevelyan. Come, Watson.
No. Wait. Have you no advice to give me?
My advice to you, sir, is to speak the truth. Good night.
All the cabs seem to be taken. Should we try the rank in Oxford Street?
No, not yet. Let's sit on this bench and consider the situation.
Yes, the night air may clear our heads and cool my temper.
You were rather short with that poor wretch. He was in a blue funk.
Well, if he'd had...